Galatians chapter 1, verses 1 through 9. If you're following along in the Pew Bible, it is on page 823. And it says, Paul, an apostle, sent not from men nor by men, but by Jesus Christ and God the Father, who raised him from the dead, and all the brothers with me, to the churches in Galatia. Grace and peace to you from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ, who gave himself for our sins to rescue us from the present evil age, according to the will of our God and Father, to whom be glory forever and ever. Amen. I am astonished that you are so quickly deserting the one who called you by the grace of Christ and are turning to a different gospel, which is really no gospel at all. Evidently, some people are throwing you into confusion and are trying to pervert the gospel of Christ. But even if we or an angel from heaven should preach a gospel other than the one we preach to you, let him be eternally condemned. As we have already said, so now I say again, if anyone is preaching to you a gospel other than what you accepted, let him be eternally condemned. May the Lord add his blessing to this, the reading of his holy word. Is it too loud? Oh, no. This morning we are beginning a summer sermon series. Throughout the months of June, July, and August, we are going to be looking at the letter to the church in Galatia. Later this month, many in our community, many in the country, will celebrate Juneteenth. For those that are unaware of this special day, allow me a little bit of history. On January 1st, 1863, then President Abraham Lincoln signed an executive order, which would be known as the Emancipation Proclamation. In that executive order, the president decreed that every adult male and woman in the United States of America, however those states were constituted, every single human being was considered a free citizen of the country. And immediately upon January 1st, 1863, immediately everyone was to be told, and dispatches went out, and messengers went out, and news quickly crossed the Union, crossed Union lines into the Confederacy. But it wasn't until June 19th or 20th of 1864, more than 18 months after the proclamation was given, that a group of people in a remote area of Texas were made aware of their new status. People living in bondage because the good news of freedom had either been delayed or denied them. So, as we look at the letter of Galatians over the summer, that is really Paul's clarion concern. On the worship folder this morning, we have Galatians 5:1, which says, "It is for freedom that Christ has set us free. Stand firm then, and do not let yourself be burdened again by the yoke of slavery." Paul's concern, as we're going to see, is one of freedom. So this morning, as we hear Paul's introduction to this letter in verses 1 through 9, we'll begin to hear the heart of Paul's message for the church, not only the church in Galatia, but for the church here in Dorchester and in the United States and everywhere across the globe. And the first thing that Paul does in verses 1 through 5 is that Paul introduces his letter with his calling. And he does this in a number of ways. First, he shares his ministry. Paul, an apostle. Literally, Paul, someone who has been sent from another. Apostasso, to be sent from. He was sent, according to Acts 26:17, he was sent to the Gentiles to proclaim the gospel. But Paul is quick to say, right from the very beginning, "I was not sent from men. I was not sent through men. I was not sent by men. My authority does not come from a human source, whether it be the king or a religious leader or by any human authority. He was sent by God to establish the church in Asia Minor, which Galatia was part of." We see that in Acts 13 and 14, that Paul has gone to Galatia, has founded the church there, and had ministered there. And now he is continuing to care about them. We see that later on, and we will see that when we discuss chapter 4, verses 12 through 19, where he says, "Oh, you're like children to me. You are dear to me. You are a constant concern for me." Paul's ministry was to go where God sent him and go with God's grace and gospel to share the good news. And that's what we see here. Not only does he share his ministry, but he shares his message. "An apostle sent not from men nor by man, but sent by Jesus Christ and God the Father, who raised him from the dead." And we're going to skip down to verse 4. "The Lord Jesus, who gave himself for our sins to rescue us from the present evil age according to the will of our God and Father." The message that Jesus shares is found right. The message that Paul shares is found right here in the beginning verses. That Jesus gave himself for our sins. God raised Jesus from the dead. First and foremost, Jesus was raised. Now, we have to ask ourselves, why was Jesus dead in the first place? Paul tells us that too. He was raised for our sins. He gave himself for our sins. He was crucified for the sins that we committed. Jesus was the suitable sacrifice to satisfy the wrath of God and to placate his anger. But death could not hold Jesus. He was perfectly raised, victorious on the third day. And therefore, even in this first verse, I've been sent by Jesus and by God the Father who raised him from the dead to say first and foremost this statement that Jesus is alive. He has conquered death and he has rendered sin and Satan powerless. Jesus' death and resurrection, he will go on to say in verse 4, has rescued us from the present evil age. That we are living, Paul says, in an age of bondage, in an age of servitude, in an age of powerlessness against sin and Satan and death. But that age has ended. We are being delivered to the day of the Lord, for the day of the Lord. We've been redeemed and freed from the bondage of sin. And it is God's will that we live as free. Paul finally shares his motive in verse 5. To whom be glory forever and ever. Amen. Paul was not writing this letter to say, I want you to follow me. Paul was not writing this letter to say, I am a better teacher than the rest. I am more eloquent than the rest. He is writing this letter to glorify God, to elevate God and not himself. To God be the glory forever and ever. And as we make our way through this letter throughout the summer, these initial statements are going to resurface. What is the source of Paul's ministry? What is the source? And we'll have to go back and say he was sent not from men or by man, but he was sent by Jesus Christ and by God the Father. We're going to have to ask ourselves, what is the substance of Paul's message? What is he teaching? And ultimately, we have to continue to remind ourselves that he is teaching Christ resurrected because he died for our sins. Christ conquering death, sin, and Satan. And what is the satisfaction of Paul's motive? Why is he writing this? It is to give glory to God. So that's his calling. But he also writes in these introductory words his concern. I am astonished. I am amazed. I am perplexed. I am dumbfounded that you are so quickly deserting the one who called you by the grace of Christ and are turning to a different gospel, which is really no gospel at all. Paul's concern, Paul's fear, is that they might be changing. The term Paul used here is metatithemy. Meta, like metamorphosis, changing. Tithemy is standing, being set in place. So they're changing their stance. They're changing their position. They're changing their foundation, where they are stand, where they are established. What is foundational? Paul's concern is that they are quickly, too quickly, changing the foundations, deserting the truth, abandoning the truth, moving away from the truth. And what he is saying figuratively is, I'm noticing that you are switching sides. You started, when I was with you, living in God's grace. But now that I am no longer with you, you are switching to living now without God's grace. They are abandoning the good news for the not good news. They are changing to a different gospel, which is no gospel at all. There is no other gospel, Paul is arguing right from the very beginning. There is no other story. There is no other good news. It's not as if, well, Jesus died for you and was resurrected, but now let's change it up a little. Let's change the basis. Let's change the foundation. Let's change the standing that you have made. He fears that there are some who are twisting the gospel. Evidently, some people are throwing you into confusion and are trying to pervert the gospel of Christ. Some people are causing trouble by distorting the gospel. Well, how do you distort the gospel? In this particular case, and it seems to be the case most of the time, that they were adding to the gospel. That there was a sense where Jesus' death and resurrection wasn't quite enough. And therefore, Paul fears that some of them will go beyond the gospel. Verse 8. But even if we or an angel from heaven should preach a gospel other than the one we preach to you, or more literally, if we should start with the gospel and go forward from there, let them be eternally condemned. As we have already said, so I say again, if anyone is preaching to you a gospel other than from further beyond what you accepted, what you received, let him be eternally condemned. The connotation here of Paul's words is that they were going beyond. No one, not an angel from heaven, not a charismatic, not theologically, but a characteristically, not a charming preacher like myself. No one is allowed to surpass God's word. And if anyone does, Paul says, let them be literally anathema, which is an Old Testament term which means consecrated for destruction, set apart to be destroyed. And when Paul says this, he is not saying if they choose to do this. It's not the messenger that is being condemned. It's the message. Now, they will be destroyed because they are preaching a message that does not square with Scripture. But it's the message that matters. It's always the message that matters. Dorothy Sayers once said, it's not the business of the church to adapt Christ to men, but men to Christ. Our job is not to change the message of Christ so that more people accept it. Our business is changing people so that they will recognize their need for Christ. And what they were doing in this particular case, as Paul is writing it, they were surpassing the gospel by adding works. There are things we must do to partake of God's deliverance, they would say. There is a price to pay for the gift of salvation, they would say. In particular, in this case in Galatia, they were advocating that you needed to be circumcised. You needed to be part of the covenant people of Israel before you could be accepted by God in Christ. But that's just not true. Paul's argument here and throughout this letter is that these additions are ungodly. And as we make our way through this letter this summer, we will meditate on the reasons why the gospel is more than sufficient for all our needs. Our sermon in a sentence is this: seeking more than the gospel is looking for trouble. As Paul writes in one of his other letters, it is by grace you have been saved through faith, and this not from yourselves. It is the gift of God, not by works, so that no one can boast. There will always be people around us that will say, grace and, or Jesus and church and baptism and service and morality and propriety. And while all those things are good and right. There is nothing more than grace to save us, to deliver us. Seeking more than the gospel is looking for trouble. Paul wrote this letter to glorify God in proclaiming the fullness of the gospel. And let us spend this summer unpacking this truth and embracing our freedom in Christ. Because seeking more than the gospel is looking for trouble. Shall we pray?